We'll put the bat and the ball when we're out in the field, and we just have to be ready for them and take advantage of any opportunity that we may have with runners in scoring position.
I know you felt pretty good about the Moravia game, 10-0 in six innings, and you'd like to get a little easier game like that before you play a tough game like with Moulton tonight. Who are you going to go with tonight from the pitching perspective? You've got a great pitching ball club, but who's going to get the nod tonight?
Well, tonight we're going to go with Coy Moore. Coy's really, I think, hitting the top of his game right now in the season. Hasn't had a lot of innings compared to last summer. Did a good job in our last outing that we had against Oskaloosa. And when he gets up in the count, he's very, very difficult. And Moulton has seen him before, and so they're going to be ready. They're aggressive in the count with the bats. And so defensively, we just have to be ready to make the plays because they're going to put it in play. And we certainly trust Coy in the mound. We know he's going to do a great job for us.
Well, I know Coy had a great outing. You alluded to that with the Oskaloosa team. Oskaloosa's got a pretty good ball club, but I think he shut them out, didn't he?
Yes. Did a very good job right from the get-go. He stayed ahead, worked ahead all night long, and just trusted his defense behind him. Just knew, put it to the plate, and he's going to have some teammates that are going to help him out. And when he does that, we're pretty tough to beat with him on the mound.
What makes Moulton so tough? Do they have a good – obviously they have some kind of pitching because they held you to two runs earlier in the year, which is pretty hard for anybody to do. What's your biggest concerns with them? You talked about it a little bit, but what do you expect from them from their pitching angle tonight? They're obviously – everybody – you've got a bullseye on your back. When you rank second in the state, everybody's trying to spring the upset. What do you expect from them tonight? Anything a little different? And what's their pitching like?
Well, there's a good chance we may see Kalen marching on the mound. I don't know that for sure. We'll find out here shortly. But he's 5-1 on the season. All the top three pitchers that they have had great summers so far. And they do that because they throw a lot of strikes. They make you put the ball in play, knowing that their defense is going to make the plays behind them. And so we just have to be aggressive at the plate, get a good pitch to hit early in the count, and not get deep into a lot of 2-1-2 counts where it's obviously much more difficult to get the pitch that you want. But we have to be aggressive on the base pass as well. Can't make any base running mistakes. And really, we just get runners in scoring position. We've got to take advantage of the big hit and eliminate any strikeouts. They've got a good pitching staff. They really do. Offensively, they put the ball in play. They're aggressive. First fastball they see over the plate, they're going to take a hack at it and poke it out there and get a few balls to drop in there and be some pressure on us early in the game. But we know we'll do well. We also know that we're going to get a really good game out of them.
Everybody's been playing a lot of games this year, Matt, and of course the weather's very, very hot. How's your team stack up physically now? Everybody in pretty good shape?
I think yesterday we were a little worn out, to be honest, as the game went on. And as a coaching staff, we kind of evaluated that. Had some kids that came out for some early batting practice on their own time. And I think the sun may have gotten to us and the humidity may have gotten to us a little bit. The game went on, we started to look a little bit fatigued. We're going to make some adjustments with that throughout the postseason. Just try to keep our kids fresh, and really that's just as important as anything right now, making sure that we're fresh, making sure that we're in good condition, ready for some tough seven-inning battles that we're going to have throughout this postseason.
Boy, that's a great point. And hydration this week especially, such a big thing, and a lot of kids think, well, I'll go and drink a little before the game. Hydration really begins, you know, the days before a game. Hydration right now is a big thing, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Both night and days before the game, and also during the game, we're constantly reminding them that we're not trying to guzzle down as much as we can. We're trying to sip, we're trying to get huge quantities of water or Gatorade down, but just keep sipping that water. We've got cold towels. We've got ice ready in between innings for them. And, and we trust that they're going to take care of themselves, and that is big, especially, the pressure starts to mount. With this humidity as well, and often it's the team that's fresher and that comes out, gets that good start, the team that really has the success, and so we just have to make sure physically that we're ready for each game.
Who's swinging the hot bats for you right now?
Well, Corey Moore's been hitting the ball very well for us, spraying the ball all around the field. Levi Jones, who, you know, he's our nine hitter, but we don't look at him as a nine hitter. Been hitting a lot of line drives, and when he gets on base, he is extremely dangerous in any game. You know, we've got contributions from Brent Parker, who, with runners on base, he does a great job knocking them in and hitting a lot of line drives. His bat's been coming around a lot here lately, and just we trust every person in our lineup to put the ball in play, whether it's a bunting situation, whether we need a line drive or a hard ground ball. And that's what it takes, is a complete effort. If just one part of your lineup is hitting well and the other isn't, it seems when that's happening that it's usually those kids that are struggling that seem to be up at the plate in some of those important times. So we just need to make sure that everybody's at their peak performance right now, and just ready to do what the team needs of them. We don't need home runs out of everybody. We just need the bunt at the right time and the ground ball to the right side to move a runner over. Those are the little things that make the difference.
Boy, that's a great point, Matt. Great point, because one thing you don't want to do when you get into this pressure situations of tournament, you want to play within yourself and not try to do more than you're capable of doing, because that usually leads to consequences you don't want.
Yep, we've done some things that have been successful, and we're not going to go away from those things. At the same time, we're not trying to put any added pressure on our players. We just continue the same things we've been doing, just make sure that we're focused and ready to take advantage of those situations.
Well, you're the winningest team in the state of Iowa, and let's hope you get another one in the win column tonight. And we're looking forward to just keep mounting those victories up and hopefully see you next couple of weeks up in Principal Park. Looking forward to the game tonight. Good luck to you, Matt.
Thanks very much. We know it'll be a tough contest. We're real confident in our young men.
You're listening to Albia Sports on Thunder Country KIIC.
We're back here at Finn Field in Moravia, Iowa tonight. 1A baseball action. Randy Stafford, Rich Grimes, and we're bringing you the Twin Cedar Sabres, number 2 in Class 1A, against Moulton Udell. And this game looks like it may start a little earlier than scheduled. It's been a 7 o'clock start. And so we're looking forward to bringing that to you tonight. We're going to go through the lineups just in case, Randy, and I hope everybody can hear us here. Let's take a look at the Moulton Udell lineups tonight. First of all, I'm going to let you run those through, Randy.
Batting first will be the shortstop, Kalen Marching. Batting in the second spot, center fielder, Trey Stansberry. Batting in the third spot will be the third baseman, Kyle Neer. Batting in the fourth spot will be...
Is there any way you can turn that down?
Will be the first baseman.
We're getting a lot of feedback. Sorry, Randy.
Batting in the fifth spot... Yeah, go ahead. Batting in the fifth spot will be the left fielder, David Sheets. Batting number 6, catcher, Cole Kirby. Batting in the 7th spot, pitching, Quentin Fowler. Batting in the 8th spot, playing right field, Dalton Probasco. And in the 9th spot, playing second base, will be Logan McCoy.
You know, Randy, you look at this Moulton Udell team. They're coached by Brent Marching and their assistant, Austin Berg. They've only played 18 games this year. They come in at 15-3. They've got a good record. That is way less than most teams in the state of Iowa play, and sometimes that can be problematic because you're maybe not tested as much as you should be.
That's a basketball schedule. That's not a baseball schedule. Come in at 15-3. I realize we've had a lot of rain down here, but, you know, other teams had rain too and were able to put games on the board. I don't know what their problem was over at Moulton Udell.
We do know they have a good ball club, though. They come into the ball game 15th in the state, hitting at 329, but, you know, that's maybe not a good indicator when you don't play too many games.
And I think to even be ranked in the state in any statistic, you have to have 10 games in, isn't that right?
Yes.
So, you know, they've basically got the bare minimum as far as anybody else is concerned with 18.
I do know they've got a good pitcher going tonight for them. Quentin Fowler is a senior. He's had a great season for them. And I know we heard Matt Miller mention him on the pregame. Quentin Fowler, the Moulton Udell pitcher, will get the assignment for them tonight. And he has had a good season. And he'll be a handful. He's got a good fastball. And as we mentioned, Twin Cedars has beaten Moulton twice this year. But when they went up against Fowler earlier in the year, they only beat him by a score of 2-1. He comes in at 5-2.
5-2 on the year. He's pitched 37 innings, and his ERA is at 3.03, and opponents have hit 272. So he is hittable. That's pretty high for an opposing pitcher at this level. Twin Cedars comes in, and you're going to run down that lineup, Randy. Number one in the state, 416 in hitting for the season. Just to show you the difference in games played, they're 32-2.
And they can lay the wood on the ball. That's why they're number one in the state in hitting average.
And they've got great speed. And Twin Cedars has some fine pitching, too. They rank eighth. We're not just talking 1A. We're talking all classes in the state of Iowa with a team ERA. Their pitchers have 1.58, and opponents have only hit 157 against them. This is a legitimate number two team, Twin Cedars. And yet, as we said to Matt Miller, when you're number two in the state of Iowa, you've got a bullseye on your back, and everybody's out to get you.
We saw Coy Moore earlier in the year when Albia went to Twin Cedars. Coy Moore is a good ball player. He's a very good basketball player also, I remember him from last year. Coy Moore will be their leadoff hitter as well as their starting pitcher. Batting in the second spot will be shortstop Otis Roby. Batting in the third spot, their catcher Hunter Embry. Batting number four, their cleanup hitter, third baseman Corey Harrell. Batting in the fifth spot will be their center fielder, Brent Parker. Batting in the sixth spot, left fielder, Drew Carlson. Batting in the seventh spot, first baseman, Eric Clark. Batting in the eighth spot, second baseman, Colin Still. And batting in the ninth spot, their right fielder, Levi Jones.
And as we mentioned, Randy mentioned Coy Moore getting the start for TC tonight. We've seen him several times. He has a 9-1 record on the season. He's only a junior. He's pitched 51 2/3 innings. His ERA is very impressive, 2.17, and opponents have only hit 170 against him. He's got a good fastball, but one of the things about Moore that I really like is he mixes up the pitches very well. He's got a good curveball, and he's a very heady pitcher. He gets ahead in the count, he's going to put you away. And a lot of that's because he's got a great battery mate. The catcher, Hunter Embry, is in the top 10 in the state of Iowa for a long time this season in hitting, so they've got a great ball club. We're getting close to game time, Randy. We're going to hear this from our sponsors. And then we're going to try to sneak in a quick interview with Jim Cagle, who's down here, the Albia assistant coach for tonight's game. He's watching, and so we'll be right back with Jim right after this.
This is Mike Gray with Albia Motor Company. I would like to take a moment to invite you to Albia Motor to take a look at Ford's new vehicle model lineup. From the 40-mile-per-gallon Ford Focus to America's most capable pickup, the Ford Super Duty, I am positive we have a vehicle to fit your needs. Ford Motor Company has taken the time to listen to you, the people of America, to help make our products top class and a great driving experience. Please stop by today and experience a new Ford vehicle. That's Albia Motor Company, right here in Albia, Iowa, quietly doing business since 1950.
You're dreaming at your desk again. Yeah, you're thinking about summer vacation.
Wake up! Wake up to a sunrise on the lake at Rapid Lake Marina's Motel. Enjoy boating and skiing, the kids laughing and playing, your fishing pole in hand. Shore lunch with your favorite radio station tuned in and cranked up. Dinner at Louie's on the lake. Go to www.rapidlakemarinas.com. Book your vacation today.
This is Albia High School Sports on Thunder Country KIIC.
We're back here at Finn Field in Moravia, Iowa. A lot of background noise, and it's even hard for me to hear right now. I was just kidding Randy Stafford. I feel like I'm at a rock concert when I was 18 years old. But Jim Cagle's with us, Albia assistant coach before tonight's game. Jim, I know you've got a lot of interest in this game because you just like good baseball wherever it's played. But there's something going on in Albia tomorrow that gets underway, the 13-year-old Babe Ruth State Tournament. Tell us about that.
It's a 17 tournament. Starts Friday. There's one game Friday night, two Saturday, four Sunday, and then finishes up Monday and Tuesday. It's a 17 tournament. A lot of teams from the area. Some was in it, Rapid area, Davis County, and Jeff, Burlington, Tri-County, Boone. It should be a good tournament.
Now, is that a double elimination tourney, Jim?
Yes, it's double elimination. The game start Friday night, should end Tuesday, if everything goes right, and kind of playing around the district game that we're hosting Saturday, and then the sub-state game.
Well, it sure doesn't look like you're going to get any rain for it. We're going to have the national anthem. We're going to talk to you in a second. So we're going to send it back. Derek, let's hear from one of our great sponsors. We'll be right back.
He's bored to death.
DirecTV, stat, 3-year savings.
Free Genie HD DVR upgrade.
2013 NFL Sunday ticket, no extra charge.
Clear.
He's okay.
DirecTV saves your entertainment. Packages start at $29.99 a month. Call now.
Call Kelderman Electronics at 641-676-4040.
Requires 24-month agreement and choice package or above. $29.99 family package not eligible. Save $30 a month first year and $10 a month second and third years. Minimum 2-room setup required for free Genie upgrade offer. $99 fee applies for 1-room setup. Additional advance receiver fees apply. 2014 NFL Sunday ticket renews at full price. Offer ends 7/31/13. New approved customers only. Lease required. Other conditions apply. Call for details.
Set amid the wide-open farmlands of southern Iowa is a high-tech auto body shop in Hedrick. Recently doubling in size, focusing on continuous improvement, and working to shave the average repair time down to a staggering 4 days in many cases. Of course, we're talking about Copeland Auto Body. Steve and Holly Copeland's white-glove customer service will make every step of your repair stress-free. And where we're proud to say they'll probably get more business from referrals than from this radio ad. Not your average auto body shop, not even close. Tell the tow truck driver to take you to Copeland's.
Make sure you cover all the bases when it comes to your teen's health insurance. Iowa has a free or low-cost health insurance program for kids. Your child will be able to get doctor and dentist visits, vision and hearing care, hospital care, mental health services, regular checkups and shots, plus needed treatment, including prescriptions. Even if you've been turned down in the past, your teen may be able to get coverage now. Generally, a family of four with an income up to $70,650 a year can get coverage. Contact Diane Ellis at Marion County Public Health Department now.
Built tough with more power and torque, Case skid steer loaders from Titan Machinery in Oskaloosa boost productivity and increase operator comfort. The cabs feature increased headroom and lap bar width, along with improved visibility, ergonomically positioned controls, industry-first side lighting, and improved reliability and serviceability help you get more work done every day. Case and Titan Machinery have flexible finance plans and the parts and service support to back up that equipment. See them on the web at TitanMachinery.com. Then find the skid steer model that is right for you. From Titan Machinery in Oskaloosa.
This is Albia High School Sports on Thunder Country KIIC. This is Albia High School Sports.
I'm just getting my eardrums blown away here on my left. But Jim Cagle back with us. Jim, that neighbor attorney, folks really want to cash in on that. And that starts again what time on Friday?
First game is 7 o'clock Friday night. And like I say, there's Oskaloosa, Boone, Rapid area, Tri-County, which is Kelowna area up in there, Wellman, and then Burlington, Davis County, and Ottumwa.
Well, we look forward to that. We're going to talk to you later throughout the broadcast. Randy, we're getting close to game time here, and Coy Moore taking his warm-ups out there. The Sabres are the home team for tonight's game, and looking forward to this. Certainly, without question, we're going to take a look at the lineups here again for you as they go up defensively. Moulton Udell is the visiting team here, and should be a good game. I tell you one thing, it's a hot night. And, Jim, hang around because we're going to talk to you later, okay?
Yeah.
I want to talk more about the Rathbun game and the Babe Ruth tourney at Albion. Well, Randy, this is a hot one. This is the hottest game we've done all summer. It's just very, very warm, and we're ready to go now. And I'm going to come back down now. And, boy, we've looked forward to this one. This should be a good one. I'll tell you. I was looking at ball games of all the four area teams we're covering, and nobody's got an easy road, but they've all got a shot to get to state. Leading it off, Kaylin Marching, Moulton shortstop.
Takes first pitch low for ball one.
Marching for Moulton. And, of course, I think it's his dad that coaches the team. I'm Marching. Kaylin's a senior, 367 hitter on the year. Only driven in five. But, you know, this is where the batting averages aren't going to mean a lot. Slugging percentages aren't going to mean a lot. On base aren't going to mean a lot because they've only played 18 games, Randy.
That's right. And I'll tell you, it's just having games is like having practice. And if you're not playing games, you're not getting any better.
One strike, here's the pitch, and Moore bounces it in the dirt.
That's 3-0. Quickly falls behind.
Marching checks down to the third base coach. On deck, it's Trey Stansberry. Coy Moore is a pitcher who gets better as he goes in a ball game, and that's a ball. Two balls and a strike. I think maybe they're 3-1.
They're 3-1.
I'm not sure. Scoreboard says 2-1. We'll see what he does here. Here's the pitch. Coy Moore works very rapidly. Good fastball right at the belt, 3-2. Moore has very good control for Twin Cedars, too, Randy. As we said, he's 9-1. He does not walk very many people. shakes off the side, shakes off another from Hunter Embry. Here's a pitch by the right-hander. Swing and miss, strike three, and marching down on strikes. Good fastball that time for Coy. Four on the season, has struck out 94. He's walked 39. That's a pretty decent ratio.
Pretty decent. Pretty decent.
I'm going to come around this way behind you. Well, I can't do that.
We've got limited footage on our cords up here tonight.
Stansbury is the batter, takes the ball, one ball, no strikes. On deck, Kyle Neer. Trey Stansbury. More working quickly. Here's the pitch on the way. Holds that ball, too. Let's take a look at Twin Cedars defensively for you right now. At first base, it's Eric Clark. Colin Stills at second. Osorobi at short. Corey Harrells at third. Drew Carlson in left. Brett Parker in center. Levi Jones in right. Hunter Embry behind the plate. Corey Moore on the hill tonight. One ball, two strikes now to Stansbury.
Boy, has good heat. Stansbury's falling behind quick.
Here's a pitch by Moore on the way. Curveball. Gets it up a little bit. Fielded nicely, though. The throw to first, two down. Good play that time by Colin Still. Two away, and that brings to the plate third baseman Kyle Neer. Kyle Neer. Big right-hander, number 18, Milton Udell in blue socks, pinstripe pants, white and blue, and kind of a royal blue jersey, white lettering, Twin Cedars, pretty much in white and very close to navy blue trim on the socks and hat. Field, they've done a good job. Everybody has trouble with the baseball fields now because of the heat. Jim Cagle works, he knows all about that up in Elm, but you've done a good job, though, keeping it well up there, Jim. I was at Principal Park the other day, and of course they've got the budget. It looks great. Here's the pitch. Good fastball outside corner. Moore looks pretty sharp here in the early going, Randy.
I know Moore's got two strikes on him. The board shows him with one. There we go. Now we're caught up. It's a 12 count on Kyle Neer.
Here's the pitch now from Coy. There's a hard hit ground ball. The second baseman up with it. Is he still?
These guys are solid.
Three up, three down, nothing across. We go to the bottom half of inning number one. It's Moulton Udell, nothing, and Twin Cedars Sabres coming for that. And we've got some more great sponsors you want to hear from. We're going to get Jim Cagle on later in the ball game. We want to talk more about the Babe Ruth tourney and his analysis of this game. We want to talk to him a little bit about Albia's game Saturday night. So, Jim, don't run too far away. He's probably going down there and get something cool to drink, Randy. That's probably what he's doing. We'll be back right after this.
You want to go to the Southern Iowa Fair today at 10 a.m.? Take the kids over for the Children's Cookie Decorating Contest at the Free Stage. There's a Bible quiz from 1 to 3 on the Free Stage today as well. There will be a Horse Games Fun Show in the Outdoor Arena at 4 p.m. Tonight's big event are Figure 8 races at 7, Bingo in the Bingo Barn at 7, and from 9 to 11, there's a 4-H and FFA team dance at the Free Stage.
The Mahaska Produce Market is now open at Mahaska Drug on their parking lot. Yes, the produce is still all grown by Tom and Ruth Stauffer of Muscatine, and the produce will be picked up fresh daily and delivered to the new building at Mahaska Drug. Yes, open 7 days a week. The Mahaska Produce Market is now open at the Mahaska Drug parking lot. Come in today on A Avenue West in Oskaloosa.
You're listening to Albia Sports on Thunder Country KIIC.
We're back here at Fenn Field in Moravia, Iowa. Randy Stafford, yours truly, Rich Grimes. And we go to the bottom of the first. No score. Moulton Udell went down in order 1-2-3 to begin the first inning. Tomorrow night, as we said, at 4:30, we'll be in Sheridan, Iowa. Randy's not going to be able to be with me, but we'll be there for a 3A matchup between Sheridan Chargers, South Central Conference champions, and Keokuk Purple Chiefs. We'll have that game. We'll be on the air at 4:30. And then the big matchup Saturday night, Albia and Eddieville Blakesburg Fremont. We'll be on the air at 6:30 from Albia, from the sports complex for the district title in 2A. Leading it off here, Randy, is none other than Coy Moore, the pitcher for the Sabres.
Coy Moore's leadoff hitter for Twin Cedars, and he's taken two balls. Two pitches, there he goes. There's a hard hit ball to left field.
And he flies it out. Out number one.
He flies out to the left fielder. We're at a little bit of a disadvantage tonight, folks, because we got two small windows in the press box, and I can see first, second, and shortstop, and Richard can cover home plate. So the outfield is a little bit suspect on what we have to take. We have to take the word of the young man running the PA system down here as to what happens. He's got probably the better window of the night.
And he's right on top of it for us. We're going to lean on him a lot.
Now batting Otis Roby, shortstop for the Sabres, fouls the first pitch back.
Curveball, that's a ball. 1-1. On the hill tonight, Quentin Fowler for Moulton Udell. 15-3 on the season. Fowler, a 3.03 ERA. He's got a tough assignment with these Sabres who lead the state in hitting tonight. That's just high. Ball three. Three balls, no strikes. Or rather, 2-1. I had to lean to see the scoreboard count, too, Randy.
Mm-hmm.
We get these adventuresome games, don't we?
What do you have down for a one loss on Quentin Fowler?
He is
a base hit.
Base hit in a gap by Roby, and the way he can run, you'll get at least two. He takes the turn, and he's going to hold up there as he checks his coach, Matt Miller. Roby has such good speed. He's a great hitter. He's been in the top 10 in the state of Iowa in hitting through much of the year, and he proved it right there, Randy.
Yeah, that's right, and now it's up to Hunter Embry to bring in the first run of the ball game.
Quentin Fowler on the year is 5-2 for Moulton, right-handed pitcher. Kind of lanky. Embry's just had a hot bat, too. He's been in the top 20 in hitting in the state of Iowa much of the year, too. But you expect that. Twin Cedars hitting over 400 for the season.
Quentin Fowler has one-third of the team's victories this year.
Embry's hitting .448 on the season. Hunter Embry, 7 home runs on the season. He's driven at 45 runs. That's a pretty good year, obviously. Takes it low for a ball. One ball, one strike.
Quentin Fowler is pitching him very carefully. These kids know one another.
Checks the runner at second. Here's the pitch. Breaking ball. Outside low. Ball two. 2-1. You talk about Roby, who's only a sophomore for Twin Cedars down at second base, who had that double. He's 30-for-30 in stolen bases this year. Here's the pitch. High for a ball. 3-1. I would not expect him to steal third, but he's someone who can.
Not on a 31 count, no.
His sister, of course, one of the outstanding softball players in the state of Iowa this year, too. She was in the top 10 and hitting in the whole state. And she's back. There's a chopper here to the third base from the shortstop. Now backs it up, comes up with the play, the throw, and the umpire says he got him. Close play at first. Roby races to third. First baseman did a nice job. Botcher that time, taking it on one hop and getting the put out, and now there are two out. Here's Corey Hero, big hitting first baseman for Twin Cedars, has a lot of power. Hero comes to the plate now. Corey Hero, hitting at .581 on the year, and Randy, he's driven in 64 runs on the year, and he's got a lot of power. Didn't get it all, but it's drifting. Ground, it's going to drop in right field. Right fielder didn't get it, should have got it, and that'll put TC up 1-0. That ball carried farther than it looked like it was going to, Randy. Right fielder got a poor jump on the ball, and when he did realize where he was positioned, he was out of position and had to run backwards very quickly, and he just didn't get on the ball. 1-0 TC. Hill got under it. He didn't catch it all, and it's a good thing. He still drove it out there a long way, just short of the fence. The right fielder that time, Don Probasco, was just kind of spinning out there, turned one way, then another, and finally he just didn't get a glove on the ball, and Twin Cedars jumps on top 1-0.
This is somewhat of a short ride down here, too. Short yard, excuse me. It's 300 down the line, 340 straightaway center.
The batter now, Brett Parker, center fielder. And there's a pickoff move getting back in. Nice job that time by Kalen Marching, to save that ball going into center field. Harrell was not a threat to steal. I'm surprised they went down there with that. Brett Parker is an outstanding center fielder. Matt Miller mentioned him before the game. He's a junior. He's driven in 49 on the air and a .471 hitter. We talked about him earlier in the year. His mother was getting some cancer treatment up at the University of Iowa. We understand she's doing a lot better. And, of course, she's home, and we're glad about that. I know he is.
Good to hear.
Good cut. Just got a piece of it for a strike. These TC batters, if you watch them, Randy, are
so fundamentally sound. And I know Jim's impressed with that back here, too. Courtesy runner, good. Thanks, guys. McCarty, appreciate the Moravia guys passing that down. I can't see second base from where I'm at. Spencer McCarty was courtesy runner for Corey Harrell, and he's just a freshman, and that's a good move by Matt Miller, because Corey is not known as a speedster. Here's the pitch. High fly ball deep left center field, and it's going to be over the head of the center fielder. That was for another run, and racing in the second, Brett Parker, and he drove it back to the fence, too. The center fielder, Stansbury, went way back, made a good effort, but that ball was in a long way, and it's 2-0 Sabres, and they've got three hits, and all three of them are doubles. Drew Carlson coming to the plate now, the left fielder. He's related to obvious assistant coach Jim Cagle, Randy.
I did not know that.
Now, Jim's not going to claim he taught him everything he knows, but
did you teach him everything he knows?
Well, probably not.
It's kind of a distant. His grandfather is Jim's cousin.
Oh.
Which, you got to figure that out, what you would really say about
that. If you're from an Italian family like I am on my mother's side, that's close enough. Now, you can...
My mom and your mom were both
moms. Yeah, I'm related to you, Randy.
My last name doesn't end in a vowel, so that my Italian lineage is off my mother's side.
Maybe your name was originally Stepordia.
No, my dad was John Bull English right down the line.
Twin Cedars is going their way to an early lead here, Randy. They're up 2-0, and there's a conference out on the mound as Brent Marching goes out and talks to his pitcher out there, Quentin Fowler. TC doing what they do so well, jumping on top here, and here is Drew Carlson, their left fielder. Carlson, just a junior, he's hitting .402 on the year, and he's driven at 40. Twin Cedars has only two seniors on this ball club. How would you like to have that team coming back?
I'll tell you what, and they are fundamentally sound. They are so good defensively, you enjoy watching them.
Strike to the left-handed batter, Carlson. Quentin Fowler trails 2-0. He'd like to strand that runner in a second. They don't want to get any further down. There's the pitch. There's a chopper. Oh, it's going to go into right field base hit. Took that big hop over the second baseman's head, racing in the score. Brett Parker, 3-0, Twin Cedars. Here's Eric Clark, their first baseman coming up now. Eric Clark, one of only two seniors on the Sabres team, and he's a .404 hitter. Two homers, 36 RBI. You know, Twin Cedars, early in the year, beat Fort Dodge St. Edmunds up at Principal Park, and that's when they caught everybody's attention. And I know they really impressed the people up at Principal Park, some of the I-Cups execs.
I think they impressed people at Oskaloosa, too, later in the season.
Beat them 13-0. That's a 4A school. There's a fly ball out into left field, and there's the putout. Nice play by Sheets for out number three. Good inning for the Sabres here in the first. That's what Matt Miller wanted. Three runs, Randy, and they were clobbering the ball.
Three runs on four hits. No errors, and one left on.
We go to inning number two. It's Twin Cedars, the number two ranked team in Class 1A, leading Moldudale 3-0, and we'll be back right after this.
Have you been in yet to see the new hybrid mattress from Sealy Posturepedic at Bruxford's Decorating Center in Pella? This new mattress combines Sealy's two best sleeping technologies into one luxurious night's sleep. The cooling comfort of gel memory foam is on top, with the deep support of titanium alloy springs underneath. Stop in and try out the new Sealy Hybrid for yourself and experience support, comfort, and cooling all in one mattress at Bruxford's Decorating Center in downtown Pella.
Summer is here, and Gigi's Unique Boutique and Bud's Brew Shack, 601 North L Street in Oskaloosa, have some summer fun activities for you. They're giving away Adventureland tickets, Schlitterbaum Water Park tickets, and Iowa Cup baseball tickets, in addition to great values throughout their store. They have flippers, they have flip-flops, they have swimsuits from $15. They have new cosmetics for women as low as $1.99. You must get in to Gigi's Unique Boutique and Bud's Brew Shack, 601 North L Street in Oskaloosa.
This is Albia High School Sports on Thunder Country KIIC.
Second inning now. Twin Cedars leads at 3-0 over Moldudale. Randy Safford, your schoolie Rich Grimes. Jim Cagle with us up here, too. Albia assistant coach Jim. We're watching this game, of course.
good start for the Sabres, but you've got a big game coming up Saturday night. There's a chopper hit. Oh! Long throw, and how are they going to score that one?
That's got to be E5.
I don't know. Aaron, the third baseman that time, for Twin Cedars, usually sure-handed that time, but an error on Corey Harrell, and that allows Boucher to beat it out, so that's a error. He's the first, nobody out. Here's David Sheets, the left fielder. Number 23, Coy Moore now will work off the stretch. He has a very good pickoff move. Here's the pitch, tied for ball. Jim, you've got the big game with Eddieville, Blakesburg, Fremont coming up Saturday night. You played them twice. You've won two. They've won two, four games, two times. You played them. They were both doubleheaders. How do you feel about that ball game? What do you do when you split with a team like them? You're both in the same conference. What's the plan? You don't want to divulge that, but your pitching's in pretty good shape. You played great the other night. I know the hitting is a little bit of a concern. You guys think you're not hitting as well as you should be.
That's something we've talked about and that we're trying to work on. And the key, I think, is going to be if we get some good pitching, can hold them down and score a few runs, I think we'll be okay.
I know we're a ways away from Saturday. Who are you planning to pitch at? Have you talked about that?
Probably Ethan Gray.
And Gray, of course, has done a good job. There's a base hit into right field, Randy, and that's by Sheets. So now Moulton's trying to come back. They've got first and second. Nobody out. And here's Colt Kirby now, the catcher coming up for Moulton Udell. Colt Kirby steps to the plate. Only a junior, 368 hitter for them on this season. So you're planning on going to Ethan Gray, and Matt Miller's going out to talk to Coy Moore here. They certainly don't want to give up that three-run lead right away like they are threatening to see happen here, Jim. But Ethan Gray's had a good year. Wasn't as sharp the other night as you'd like to see him, but he has pitched great down the stretch and had a great year.
He's several good innings for us, yeah. He had a couple innings the other night where he wasn't quite as sharp as what he is sometimes, but battled through it
The good thing is he's going to be well-rested.
He's going to have plenty of rest. He should be ready to go. He hasn't pitched since the first game of the districts, and we should be in good shape.
We're going to look forward to that. We're going to talk to you again in a few moments. You're up here with us tonight. We're going to talk more about that Eddieville-Blakesburg-Fremont game. Good to have Jim up here, Randy. I know you agree with that. And I'm glad he's up here. He's kind of watching things for us, too. He's our third set of eyes. There's a strike now
on Colt Kirby.
Colt Kirby. Moulton's got two on, nobody out, so they threaten here after trailing 3-0 as the Sabres came up with three in the first. Three doubles in the first. Here's the pitch. Good fastball for a strike. Moore just doesn't hurt himself.
He was struggling there a couple of times. They got some... the first kid got on a cheap air. That was a wild bounce that ball took.
There's a fly ball out to center field, and putting it away, Brett Parker, and the runners will hold, and there's one down. Parker is an outstanding center fielder for Twin Cedars. Good speed and a great arm.
Coach went out and talked to him, settled him down, and this Coy Moore is throwing some serious heat.
We wondered about, and we're going to talk to Jim about this the other night, they went against the kid for Prairie City Monroe, and he didn't have a lot of heat, and his off-speed stuff, and just the slower velocity, I thought, gave Albie a little trouble the other night. I almost think Albie hits the harder throwers better.
The young man from Prairie City Monroe had to go down this year as the biggest pitcher we faced. He had to be in the 6'7", 6'8" range.
He was right there with Bambrook.
Yeah, that would have been, I would like to see those two men talk after the game.
I'd like to have him on a basketball team.
Yeah, boy.
Quentin Fowler, the pitcher up there for Moulton right now, two on, one out. Coy Moore, right-handed pitcher for the Sabres. He's 9-1 on the season. He's working from the stretch now. Checks the runner. Here's the pitch on the way, and it's high for ball. Embry fakes the throw down to first. They're not holding the runner at first base with the runner at second. Shortstop, Otis Roby, shading over toward the bag at second. Now he'll break back. Here's the pitch from Moore, just outside for a ball. Didn't miss that time by much. Moore works very quickly, which I know you like to see, as Bill Saylor does. There's a chopper. That's a tough play. It's going to be a foul ball. That would have been tough had it stayed. It only played and was foul right off the bat.
The only play that they would have had would have been to one
Yeah. But you got to get one in a situation like that.
You don't want a big inning here.
No,
you don't. Jump to a 3-0 lead.
You do not.
Nice crowd on hand from both schools tonight. Some Arabia folks here watching, too. There's a pop-up in on the fist. Calling for it is Eric Clark, and he'll put it away right on the line for out number two. Good pitch by Moore. Ran him inside and jammed him that time.
Two out,
and that brings to the plate now Dalton Probasco, right fielder for the Eagles.
That last fly ball was just foul down the first base line, or the infield fly rule would have come into effect.
Probasco, the batter, just a freshman for the Eagles. Stocky right-handed batter. He's a freshman, 200 hitter on the year. But as a freshman, that experience is invaluable.
Mm-hmm.
Coy Moore trying to work out of this jam here in the second. Way high. He seems to be running the ball a little higher.
Coy is coming in a little high, and I think the mound out here is giving him problems. You're going to have that when you come to a visitor's ball yard, too. All the mounds are different.
Good fastball that time, right at the knees for a strike. Every mound is different. A lot of pitchers come out and like to dig their little hole where they land. And then sometimes after some pitchers pitch, they want to crawl in a hole.
Then in between innings, Jim comes out with his little tamper, fills everything back in, taps it down.
Up in Albia, that's right. 2-2 now, two out.
No advantages in Albia.
Deuces are wild. Here's the pitch from Moore, swing and a miss, and he just blew that one by Probasco. After two straight base hits by the Eagles, they strand them both. No runs, two hits. Randy, one error in the inning.
Yep.
We have one hit in the inning.
One hit and one error.
One error, two left. That's the big story right now. They leave two. We go to the bottom half of inning number two, and it's Twin Cedars. The number two-ranked Sabres leading Moulton Udell by a score of 3-0, and we'll be right back after this.
Get hauling with Mack Hardware on the Highway 34 bypass in Sheraton. Mack has trailers for every job. Utility trailers, car haulers, equipment haulers, gooseneck haulers, and trailers that dump. From H&H, Hull, Maxi, Performance, Triple, B&J, and Wesco. And choose the size you need, from 8-foot to 30-foot. Get hauling with Mack Hardware on the Highway 34 bypass in Sheraton.
You're listening to Albia Sports on Thunder Country KIIC.
We're here in Slovenia, Iowa, Penn Field. Twin Cedars taking on Moulton Udell, 1A district action. And Twin Cedars leads it 3-0 as we go into the bottom of the second. Collins still the batter. Appreciate the hospitality of the folks up here from Moravia. Hope this gets set up. We've got kind of a split view. You see part of the field, I see the other part, Randy, but
Colin Steele swings and misses his first pitch for strike one.
Appreciate the kindness of the folks here, although I have a left eardrum left.
I love the fan.
Yeah, the
electric fan that is in here.
Yes, hear the fan roar. In on the fist and a base hit to center field. Nice bare hand to grab there by the center fielder for Moulton, and that is Stansberry. That was in on his fist, but nonetheless, that's a base hit for Steele. That was really on it.
And that's not bad out of your number eight hitter. You'd like to have your number eight hitter come on.
Kept his hands in and was able to still make contact and get the ball out of the center. Here's a guy who's something else. He bats ninth, Levi Jones. He's a senior, but what a year he's had. He's only a .292 hitter, which is good. But the story with him is he's 27 out of 28 in stolen bases. If you've got a number nine hitter who can get on base like that and create some problems, you're very fortunate.
Levi just squared the bunt, missed, so he's in the hole 0-1.
Short lead by the runner still. Here's the pitch on the way, and nice stop that time by Kirby, Moulton Udell catcher. Boy, you certainly, if you're Moulton Udell, want to get this guy because you go back to the top of the order and you could be in for a long evening.
Levi Jones must have some wheels. I haven't seen any.
Well, there he goes. Great bunt. No chance. Oh, my golly. Infield hit.
No chance at all to get him.
He just put the spin on that, and it died out there. It was a great play by Kirby for them. But with Jones' speed, they just had no chance. And all of a sudden, the Sabres again have two on, nobody out, right back to the top of the order. So he won't steal this time unless they double steal because he's got a man in front of him. And that's probably the only thing that's going to keep him from going.
Big Laidlow. Look at that lead he's got. Taking the bunt, Moore, he takes it first strike.
Coy Moore can help his cause immensely right now.
Give himself some more breathing room. He's the pitcher, of course. Top of the order for the Sabres, working off the stretch at Stanton. The pitcher, he puts down a bunt. It's a dandy, and he is going to beat it out. That's an infield bunt signal for Moore. And I'll tell you, that was perfectly put down the first baseline, which you want there, so your runners can move up to second and third, and with their speed, he beats it out.
They execute, right?
It's what it's all about.
They execute, and they are extremely fast. So now we got bases full with Otis Roby coming up, shortstop,
who doubled in his first plate appearance. There's a pitch. Line shot, base hit to left. That'll probably score two, and it will. 5-0 Sabres is coming in to score with great speed, sliding in Jones, and Roby picks up two more RBI. It's 5-0 Twin Cedars. And as Bill Saylor always laughs, I use that old term, they've got their hitting shoes on tonight, but they do, don't they?
Yes, they do. They've got their running shoes on, too.
Jim Cahill's back here, and he says they do every night. And coming out now, it's Brent Marching again, I believe, to talk to his staff. And we're going to get a pitching change. Fowler is done for Moton Udell. And we're going to get a change. Our good folks down here at Moravia will help us out. Randy will help us out. We're going to get pitching change for the Eagles. They trail 5-0. And while they're doing that, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back with those changes. It's the number two ranked Sabres leading Moton Udell 5-0 here in the second. The Albia Brewing Company, their microbrewery and restaurant, is one of the great places to eat in Albia. They've got great appetizers, salads. Their pizzas, as we well know, are exquisite. Their specialty pizzas, brew house, chicken Alfredo, chicken pesto. How about that ultimate? 50-50 ground bacon and beef and all the other things. They have sandwiches that you can't beat, including Brian's famous 50-50 burger. And desserts, kids' menu, and, of course, it's a microbrewery. They make their own beer, and, of course, they have a lot of domestics, too. It's a great place, and we appreciate them, Barb and Brian Lindbergh, being sponsors of our games. Want to mention to you, of course, Twin Cedar Sabres sponsor State Bank of Bussey. Personal, professional, practical. The State Bank of Bussey, they're personal with local ownership, local decisions, local focus. They have a combined experience of over 130 years. They're practical and they're committed to your best interest because they care. The State Bank of Bussey with three branches to serve you. Smith Fertilizer and Grain of Knoxville. Smith Fertilizer and Grain of Knoxville is proud to be a sponsor of the Twin Cedar Sabres. They'd like to wish the Sabres good luck in tonight's game. Smith Fertilizer and Grain is located in Albia, Centerville, Knoxville, and Pleasantville, and they are there for all your agri-related needs. Stop in today at their locations nearest you. We're back here at Fenton Field in Moravia, Iowa, 1A baseball district action. And the Twin Cedar Sabres, ranked second in the state of Iowa, have jumped on top of Moton here in the bottom of the second by a score of 5-0. I've got to move away from this speaker or I will be deaf by the end of the night, blaring in the old ear. Randy, you've got some changes for us you're going to give us. And coming up here now for Twin Cedars, another heavy hitter, and this is, of course, number six for them, Hunter Embry. Otis Roby. Kalen Marching has replaced Quentin Fowler on the mound. Also, some other changes. Zach Metcher has gone to third base from first base, and the big boy on the mound, Quentin Fowler, has gone to first base. And as you speak, Twin Cedars moves up their runners on a throwing error by the new pitcher, Marching. So Kalen Marching, who comes in to pitch for Fowler, just tried to pick off Coy Moore and threw it away, and now the Sabres have runners at second, third, and as I said, it is Hunter Embry up at the plate rather than Roby. Hunter Embry, here's the pitch on the way, way inside. 5-0, the Sabres really jumping out on top. They are obviously ready to play tonight. Matt Miller talked about that before the game. The pitch from Marching, here it is, popped up, foul territory. Out of play, and that was a good pitch for Embry to hit, and he's a little upset he didn't get all of that one.
I wish we could get some reports on Southeast Warren and Pleasantville to see who the winner of this game will be facing at Pleasantville Saturday.
The winner of the first
Tough as Warren.
Yeah.
I wish we had a report. I say I wish we had a report.
And we're anxious to find out how the Albion 9 and 10-year-old girls softball team did tonight in West Burlington because they were playing for the state title tonight. We hope to have a report on that a little bit later.
Oh, my.
Fly ball up the center fielder. He get it?
Yes, he did.
And makes the play, but tagging up and scoring easily.
Roy Moore,
and it's 6-0 Sabres.
Hunter Embry lines out the center.
That'll be a sacrifice fly then, basically.
Yeah, essentially, yes.
Not in the true sense of the word, but it still is, because he hit a line shot that time. And here's the big guy, Corey Harrell, third baseman. Still now a runner on second for the Sabres. There's a breaking ball and a high fly ball out into center field. Center fielder coming on. Oh, he drops it! And racing to third and getting in there. On the slide is Roby. The ball gets away, but they hold up there. And Randy Moultrie had a great year, but you might be seeing here
mm-hmm.
the consequences of not playing a lot of all games.
I was being 15-3. That's exactly right.
Sabres, the runners on the corner, brings up number 17, Brett Parker.
We talked about that before the game started, that, you know, you got to have a lot of practices, you got to have a lot of games.
There's nothing like game experience.
Mm-hmm.
Here's Brett Parker now. First and third for TC. They're already up 6-0 in the second. Parker, strong right-handed hitter, takes a low for a ball. Twin Cedars just doesn't give you a breath, do they, Jim?
No, so they just keep coming up and down the line after hitting the ball.
From the struts, Marching, who came on in relief. There's a hard hit ground ball. Nice play by the shortstop. To the second baseman, and that gets right through him, and that's going to let another run come in to score. 7-0, and maybe more importantly, Harrell was shaken up down a second. He looked like he twisted that right ankle. What a blow that would be to the Sabres. He is down out there at second base. An error on the play, and let's hope he's okay. They don't want to lose the big, strong first base, third baseman, rather, and he's having trouble there. Hopefully he's all right. Seems to be a little better already now, but it's 7-0 Sabres. They are checking that right ankle. And with that lead, they may take him out just as a precaution. I'm sure I would with what they've got at stake this season now, Randy.
Corey Harrell starting third base and for the Twin Cedar Sabres. It's 7-0, and one out. There's been two errors committed already in this inning.
And that error, of course, was on the second baseman there.
He just didn't catch it.
Harrell's coming off pretty gingerly, but the nice thing is he's walking off under his own power.
And
Dylan Springer come in to pinch run. And he's walking better now. The nice thing is he'll have a couple of days off. Dylan Springer is coming in there fresh, number 30, to run now for Harrell at second. Undoubtedly probably will go to third base for them. There's a story, too, Dylan Springer, Randy. His brother Derek Springer, of course, killed in that automobile tractor or farm machinery accident earlier in the year. And that even says more about Matt Miller and Marty Johnson, this Twin Cedars ball club, losing one of your teammates in a tragic accident earlier in the year.
They had the opportunity to fold it up after this young man passed away, but they didn't. And that really is a good sign. And that's a sign of a very good team. When you can go through adversity like that and come back and never miss a beat.
They took the pinch runner out and brought Harrell back into second, so he must be fine.
Well, there's an interesting thing, Randy. It looked like they were sending Springer out there to run, and indeed they were, and Harrell turned around and went back out to second base.
Well, I think if I were Harrell, I would have stayed in the dugout and rested that foot until this half inning was over. Let Dylan run.
Yeah, kids want to play, there's no question. But I'm telling you right now, and I see that, you know, what a big Cardinal fan I am. Mike Matheny says he can't ever get Molina out of the lineup. And, you know, you ever ask how he's doing because he said no matter how much he hurts, he won't tell him the truth.
Yeah.
But I think you've got to get, when you're going for the state tournament, I think I'd have taken him out and said, look, we're up 7-0. You're done for the night. It's a hot night. You obviously got dinged up there a little. Let's just take it easy on Saturday. But let's hope he's okay.
And I don't know what the argument is over here up the first base line with the Moulton Udell coaches. Maybe once you announce a pinch runner, he's got to stay in.
Well, I think I would agree with that, certainly. And I think that's what the discussion obviously is, Randy.
but I think maybe it could be because if it's an injury situation, it might be an interpretation that they don't have to do that. Although, they may have to. We're going to wait to see. Matt Miller shook his head there. Jim, let's get a Jim, let's get your update here on that.
I don't know what the argument, I mean, I don't know what they're discussing, but high school rule says that you have made a substitution when the substitute takes the place on the base or in the field of the player, and Springer was on second base and Harrell came off, so they might be talking about whether that's a re-entry for him or not.
I think you're absolutely right on that. And, of course, then the umpires are going to interpret exactly what was happening there. So let's see what was going on. And of course, we appreciate Jim Cagle, Albia assistant coach, being with us tonight. They're still talking down there. And now Molten Udell's coaches don't seem too happy with how that went. So I would imagine Harrell's going to be at second. As you and I and Jim said, Randy, I would have taken that out of.
Yeah, they took Harrell's hand and said, hey, guess what? There shouldn't have been room for argument on that if Mr. Harrell would have been in the dugout resting for the rest of this half inning.
But he is moving well, and that's good news for the Sabres. Marching's really in trouble here now for them, but he's not getting good support behind him. 7-0 Sabres lead, and they have runners, a runner at first as they peek around the court, and second.
Left fielder Drew Carlson at the plate.
And he had a base hit his first time out, a left-handed batter. Carlson, as I said earlier, came into the evening. 4-0-2 header. Here's the pitch. Fouled it straight back. It's like an all-star lineup when you're pitching against them. Just think, Randy, how cool it will be riding home in my air-conditioned car with the window that won't roll up now. When
Well, I tell you, when it rains, it pours. Would you have a crown that fell off today, too?
Yeah, I had a crown that fell off. I got that fixed. It always could be worse, though, right? Swing and a miss. Strike three. Good fastball by Marching that time. Carlson down on strikes. Now, finally, there are two out. A couple of errors have really hurt the Eagles this inning.
Barry Clark, first baseman for Twin Cedars, is up now. He flew out to left field his first at-bat.
Eric's had a couple of home runs on the year. He's a left-handed batter. Not a real big, strong left-handed batter, but they make good contact all through their lineup. He's only struck out 14 times this year and over 100 plate appearances.
Twin Cedars is a kind of team that everybody would like to coach. Solid all through the starting nine, offensively and defensively. Pitching is great. They're just a good, solid ball club.
There's a shot out in the left. Left fielder comes on and makes the play. Nice play by David Sheets for out number three. But another good inning for the Sabres.
In the second inning, Sabres are leading 7.
They got 4 runs on two, only 2 hits.
Those 2 costly errors.
2 errors.
And 2 runners left on base.
2 left on.
We played 2. It's the number 2 ranked in Class 1A, Twin Cedar Sabres 7, Molten Udell nothing. And we're going to tell you about some of the Sabres sponsors from right over there in their own neck of the woods. Wilson's Corner has daily lunch specials for those times when you don't have a clue. That's a lot of times for us. Unless you want to eat or if you don't know. And one of their fresh-made deli dashboard subs is calling your name. All those dashboard subs call my name.
All those dashboard subs are good.
So stop in and let them fix your sub your way at Wilson's Corner. Don't forget they have gas and diesel, too. Mark and Cecilia Wilson are proud to sponsor this game with the Twin Cedar Sabres. Personal, professional, practical. The State Bank of Bussey. They're personal with local ownership, local decisions, and local focus. They're professional. They have a combined experience of over 130 years. They're practical, and they're committed to your best interest because they care. State Bank of Bussey, 3 branches to serve you. Smith Fertilizer and Grain of Knoxville is proud to be a sponsor of the Twin Cedar Sabres. They'd like to wish the Sabres good luck in tonight's game. Smith Fertilizer and Grain is located in Albia, Centerville, Knoxville, and Pleasantville, and they're here for all your ag-related needs. Stop in today at the Smith Fertilizer and Grain location nearest to you. There's a ground ball as we go to the third. Nice play that time, and racing over there, Coy Moore gets the flip from Eric Clark, the first baseman, and Logan McCoy, the number 9 hitter and the leadoff hitter in the inning for Molten Udell, is retired one away. Back to the top of the order, Randy.
Kalen Marching, the
Phelan Marching is now the new pitcher for Bolton Udell. Replace Quentin Fowler in the second inning.
So we said at the top of the broadcast, not surprising, Quinn Cedar's second in Class 1A, 416 batting average, leading the state in hitting, number two ranked.
And this Kalen Marching, I sit out here and watch him, and I know he's a senior, and here he is batting. And I had his dad on an all-star, Babe Ruth all-star team back in the 80s. What's that say about me?
Not much, Methuselah. Time flies, Randy.
Yeah. Waits on no one.
And he draws a base on balls. That's one of the rare walks from Coy Moore. His marching gets the walk. Here's Trey Stansberry. Stansberry grounded out from second to first. Runner at first. Well, Moton Udell had their first two men on last inning, but then failed to score. So they've gotten some people on here early. But Moore's worked out of it. And, of course, he's had good defense behind him. There's a pitch. Just missed outside. And he's not getting that outside pitch tonight.
Coy Moore did not like that call. He kind of dropped his shoulders after the release on that when he didn't get it.
Throw at a first, easily back in marching.
That was just a throw to let you know that I know you're there. Nothing on it.
Now he got another throw, and he made that
well,
close.
I'll tell you, that was close. That was close.
As they said, Moore has a pretty good move to first for a high school pitcher. Not a big kid, but he's quick. And he was quick to first then. Here's the pitch to Stansberry. There's a strike on the outside corner. Not a lot of teams made it in girls softball to the state tournament this year. Of course, Ottumwa, Clark, on their home field, but want to congratulate the Clark Indians, 26-9. They qualified for the 3A state tournament. And they play next Tuesday at 11 against East Marshall. Congratulations to the South Central Conference Clark Indians girls softball team. Swing and a miss. Stanberry looked bad on that one. Really fooled at time by marching. There go all my clipboards, which are sitting on a chair tonight. And you're sitting on a chair.
I'm sitting on a chair.
I'm using the chair for your desk. Moore from the stretch. Good lead by Marching. Just outside. Moore loves to work that outside corner. We've seen that before, but he's not getting that call tonight.
I like the way this young man pitches.
Again on the outside. That one was outside. It's 2-2.
I think we got a full count on him, right?
Yes, full count. You have to tell me what's on the scoreboard.
Yeah.
I can't see it. The 3-2 pitch, here it is. Strike three, and that was right on the corner, right at the knees. Perfect pitch by Coy Moore. That's how you can work out of trouble.
Number 18, Kyle Neer.
Kyle Neer, third baseman, comes to the plate.
He fought him off and got that full count and then blew one right by him. I mean, he didn't even take the ball off. The bat off his shoulder, excuse me.
There goes the runner, the throw down, and he is out. And I'll tell you, he was out by a mile. They tried to get something going marching that time. And Hunter Embry is not to be trifled with behind the plate, and he just gunned it down there and easily threw out marching for out number three. Wow.
Sorry.
So Moton gets the runner on, but they don't leave one on as they fail to score here in the third. We go to the bottom half of inning number three. It's the Sabres leading 7-0, and we'll be right back after this.
My name's Aaron O'Mullen, and I'm famous for being the biggest tightwad in Warren County. Last year, I watched the entire playoffs on the big screens in Moulton's department store. They were totally cool with it, until I fired up one of their barbecue grills for a little indoor tailgating. Of course, I also save big by going to Casey's. They got everything priced for tightwads like me, just about anything you need.
Right now, get Gatorade, 2 for $2.75, and try our new pastas. Not valid with any other offer. Casey's, famous for hot summer deals.
Anderson's Country Store in Beacon.
a Ridiculous Day special. This Friday and Saturday, a slice of their delicious pizza and a drink, just $1.99. Wow! Also, free box go with every medium or large pizza. And now you can buy Frosty Utter ice cream at Anderson's Country Store. Open 7 to 9 Monday through Saturday and 8 to 10 on Sunday. Drive-up window and delivery 5 to 8. Remember, a slice of pizza and a drink, just $1.99 this Friday and Saturday.
The BCS, the Super Bowl, Final Four, the Cyclones, and local sports. We're Southern Iowa's sports leader. Thunder Country, KIIC.
Randy Stafford, Rich Grimes, and Jim Cagle's even up here with us tonight. Now, the assistant coach. Colin Steele leads it off here for Twin Cedars. Final of the third, they lead it 7-0. Number 12 in there for the Sabres. Colin Steele, second baseman. Had a base hit in the quarter later. That's exactly right. Marching on in relief, Kalen Marching. Singled and scored his first at-bat. So he's working into his second inning of work here in relief for the Eagles. Pitch by the right-hander, good fastball, line shot right at the second baseman. Nice play that time by McCoy, one down. Randy, I know you love baseball. I want to tell all of our fans in the listening area about something that's going on Wednesday and Thursday at the King Theater in Albia. If you haven't seen the movie, or even if you have, which you and I haven't, want to see it again, the movie 42 about Jackie Robinson in 1947 coming into Major League Baseball, which changed not only baseball forever, but the culture and everything else. It stars Harrison Ford as Branch Rickey, who is outstanding.
And he looked like Branch Rickey.
Who
sees old pictures of Branch Rickey.
And he became a Hall of Famer, and of course Jackie Robinson. The story is about him. You don't want to miss it. King Theater, Wednesday and Thursday night, special showing. Free show. I'm swaying him in. Strike two. And boy, Levi Jones looks bad on those first two pitches, but it's free. Wednesday night. Wednesday night, actually, at 6, they have the 1950 classic. They brought it back. The Jackie Robinson story, starring Jackie Robinson, Ruby Dee. That's at 6. And then at 7:30, the movie 42. And it's free will offering, so everybody can get in free. And this is one to bring your ball players to, your kids to. It's for all ages. There's a ground ball hit by Jones, shortstop, up with it, long throw, in time. Nice play that time by their shortstop that time, two away. And then Thursday night at 7, just the movie 42 with Harrison Ford. And they don't want to miss it. It's a powerful movie. It's a great movie. One of the best movies of 2013. And there's a lot of free prizes being given away, too. There's some Rawlings baseball gloves, Louisville Slugger gloves, some bobbleheads, some free I-Cubs tickets, all sorts of stuff. Hope to see you at the Connecticut Gapper Thursday.
That's a gapper for Coy Moore. It's going to be a double if he hurries.
Got it. There.
He's got it.
First double of the night for TC. Coy Moore doubling into right center field. I know you're planning, I think, seeing that again, Randy. And again, that's Wednesday and Thursday night, King Theater, and you don't want to miss it. 6 o'clock for the double feature on Wednesday, and then Thursday at 7, just the movie 42. Free will offering, air conditioned, concession stand, free prizes, and it's a movie you walk away from thinking, wow, I love that movie.
I want to see the Jackie Robinson story. I haven't seen it since I was 9 years old. I want to see it again.
So that's a great opportunity.
I think I paid 10 cents to get into the picture show back then. To watch that Jackie Robinson story.
Really?
Uh-huh. Seymour had a picture show until 1960.
Otis Roby, the batter. Otis, two hits, including a double. He scored two. He's driven in a couple. Two RBI in the night. 7-0. Sabres have run their second.
And two out.
Two out. The pitch from Marching on a relief. There's a strike on the outside corner. Otis, left-handed batter. But as we said, on the top 10 in hitting in the state of Iowa. Just a sophomore. 462. His dad is a principal at Twin Cedars, Dave Roby. He's pretty proud of his daughter and Otis. They're both two of the better players in softball and baseball in the state of Iowa. That's low, more of a hold up. So hope to see you at that movie Wednesday and Thursday.
Marching kid in the relief has settled down, allowed his team to make some outs for him, and he's done a pretty good job out on the mound.
He came into a tough situation because they really, Twin Cedars, jumped all over.
Quentin
Fowler. And some porous defenses actually hurt Marching, too.
Moulton Udell had an excellent boys basketball team this last winter. I did the district championship between them and Sigourney, P8, and it was at Albia.
There's a base on ball to Roby. Boy, they've got speed on the bases now. Moore, second, Roby at first. Here's Hunter Embry.
You really don't want to give Twin Cedars a free pass on anything because these kids will burn you.
You know, we were planning on following TC through the tournament, as we are Sharon, as we are Albion, of course, Eddyville. Albion, of course, primarily, obviously. But this game, and I know this game really worried Matt Miller because one of the games they played with Moulton this year was 2-1, and they had to really work hard to get the win. And right now they're working hard, but it is not a close ball game right now, 7-0. Speaking of ball games, again, I want to remind you, an early start tomorrow. Sharon Chargers, South Central Conference champs. They will take on Keokuk. Tomorrow will be on the air at 4:30 from Centerville.
Is that game time 5, right?
Game time at 5. That's high. Down, but it's still a strike.
Down at beautiful Indian Hills Community College.
With a wonderful press box.
With a wonderful press box.
There's the 1-1 pitch. Good breaking ball, strike 2. Emery looks down to Matt Miller at third. And then Saturday night's a big one. We're going to talk to Jim Cagle about it here again in just a little bit. Albia, Eddyville, Blakesburg, Fremont. Albia Sports Complex. There's a drive hit deep to left. And that is out of here. Home run. I had to shift from the front window to the left window, but I knew when it went off his bat, that was going to go. And it did. A home run, a three-run shot by Hunter Embry, and it's 10-0. Twin Cedars here in the third. He had that classic swing, got it all, and as I jumped from the front window to the left, it's still sailing over the left field fence. Three-run homer for the Sabres, and they mob him as he comes across the plate, and the Sabres lead 10-0. And as we laugh sometimes, as Dizzy Dean used to say, who'd have thunk it?
Exactly.
Twin Cedars is pounding the ball tonight. 8 hits on the evening, and we're only in the third, and they lead 10-0.
That's why you really don't want to give up a walk to this ball club.
And Harrell's had a tough night. He of course, got injured earlier and stayed in. This time he gets hit by a pitch. And he goes down to first base.
One back, brings out number 17, Brent Parker.
2 out. I'll tell you, Parker's got power, Randy. If Parker catches a pitch out over the plate, this game will end here.
Parker's the center fielder. He hit a double his first time at bat. He got on second time on an E4. That was that good shot to the shortstop. Shortstop loved it, threw it to second base, and he just dropped it.
Here's the pitch to Parker. Takes a strike right at the belt. 10-0 Twin Cedars. As I said, the big game Saturday night, Albion, Eddyville, Blakesburg, Fremont from the Albion Sports Complex. We hope to see a big, big crowd. I know Jim Cagle wants one out there, and Boyd Britton will be there with that game on the air at 6:30. And next week's going to be a heavy week, too, as we get even deeper into districts. Ground ball, big hop to the shortstop. Over to second for the first play. That's the only one they'll get. That's all they needed because that's out number 3. Nice play by the shortstop. That time for Moulton, but a big inning again for the Sabres. They scored 3 in the first. They had 4 in the second, 3 in the third. We go to the fourth, and it's 10-0 Twin Cedars. Totals on the inning, Randy.
They had 2 hits. One of them was that big 3-run shot.
And 3 RBI, obviously,
mm-hmm.
for Roby, or Embry, rather.
And no errors. And we had 2 left on.
We'll be right back for the fourth after these messages.
Hi everybody, this is Sam with KB Zone Auto in Oskaloosa. We have a full line of cars, trucks, and SUVs, almost all of which are under 100,000 miles. All of our vehicles are clean titles, thoroughly inspected, and backed with a warranty. We offer finance through 3 local credit unions, as well as service contracts and gap insurance. So stop looking and come on down to KB Zone Auto in Oskaloosa. My name is Sam, and I'm the location manager for KB Zone Auto. Remember that name, because we are the next big thing.
It's Thursday at the Marion County Fair Thursday. What does it mean? It means the Harris Clash Modified races begin tonight at 7 p.m. The Midway is open. You can eat your way through the Midway at the Marion County Fair today. Gate admission is free. Grandstand event tickets can be purchased at the ticket office. Carnival ride admission is sold at the Midway. The Marion County Fair has something for everyone.
You're listening to Albia Sports on Thunder Country KIIC.
Third baseman Kyle Lear here in the top of the fourth for Moulton Udale. They trail Twin Cedars 10-0. Sabres have done everything right tonight, except just one error. That's the only flaw. There's a shot. Shortstop, big candy hop. Nice play, Roby. Long throw. Makes the play.
Wow.
He's just got a gun for an arm, and there's one down. Randy's going to talk to Jim Cagle again here in a few moments in the half inning. Betcher, the batter. Jack Betcher, first baseman.
Zach Betcher.
And he reached on an error, the only flaw in Twin Cedars game tonight, really.
I go back a long way with the Betcher family, too. Zach's dad.
Blazing fastball, and Moore blew it right by him, strike one.
Zach's dad and I started work together on the same day right after I got back from Vietnam. It was the first job that I had when I come back from overseas.
And you were happy with any job you'd have got back from Vietnam.
I was just happy to be back, except, you know, days like this remind me a lot of over there.
Want me to sing over there?
No. Uh-huh.
Two strikes by Moore. Yeah, we're glad all those guys came back who did. Just got a piece of it. No balls, two strikes. Moore is showing what we've seen from him earlier in the year, Randy. He gets stronger and more effective as the game goes.
Mm-hmm. And it was a 10-0 lead the fourth inning. I think it's the nature of the beast for him, but me, I would coast.
They've got Otis Roby planned for Pleasantville, and that is who they assume they'll play on Saturday. There's a ground ball, hit the Roby. Oh, big hop, good reflexes, comes up, nice throw. There's those quick, soft hands of Otis Roby right there. Another nice play. Two down. Speaking of a good shortstop, how about Ethan Gray playing lately for Albia, the way he's playing shortstop?
Ethan Gray has been a highlight film
for Albia.
I've often wondered if his mother had been taking a lot of pictures of him out there. They would be definitely family album shots. It'd be in the front of the family album, not in the back.
Sheets here, I believe, is the son of Larry Sheets from the Iowa House of Representatives down this area, which represents Albia. And also part of Mahaska County and Arlopalo County and all of Appanoose.
That's his son. That.
Number 23.
I wonder if he's here tonight.
I would imagine he is. There's a high fly ball, deep center field. Center fielder Parker back, makes the play. Three up, three down, nothing across. We go to the bottom of the fourth, 10-0, Twin Cedars, the number two ranked team in the state. And Randy, I'm going to have you talk to Jim Cagle again about the big game coming up Saturday night with Albie and Eddieville. Jim?
Yeah, Jim, as Richard alluded to earlier, you played him four times. This is a rubber match. You've each taken two.
Yeah, that's, in the South Central Conference, you play everybody four times, so there's no surprises left. Everybody knows what to expect and what they're going to get, pretty much. And it's just a matter of going out and playing the game, and whoever makes the fewest mistakes and does the most things right is probably going to end up on top.
We know we're going to face Christian Vanbrook. They know they're going to face Ethan Gray. What have you done so far this week in practice to prepare for Christian?
Haven't done a whole lot of things different, just the basic practice. You know, we do take some batting practice. We've had real good fielding practices this week. And it's just, at this point in the season, you know, you've done most of the things you can do, and it's just a matter of staying sharp and just trying to stay on top of the game.
Your defense this year has been your best offense. Your defense has actually saved your offense several times. Like I said, that Ethan Gray, and I don't mean to slam anybody else on the team because they've all played great, but Ethan Gray at shortstop has been a highlight.
He's
real.
Make some web jams, yeah. I like to tell the boys in practice it takes one run to win a baseball game. The rest of them are just penalties for letting them score, and that's kind of the approach we took this year.
You've got to get on before you can score.
Yeah, that's...
I've noticed, you know, from the start of the lineup, number one or down through number nine, nobody gets up, and I'm so glad to see that. We talked down at Centerville the other night when we did a girls' game, the Albia Centerville girls' game, the importance of being able to distinguish your offense from your defense, and don't carry your last strikeout out to the field, and these guys aren't doing that, and that is such a joy to see.
Yeah, and that's one of the things we stress is, you know, if you strike out at the plate or if you hit into a ground ball or whatever, leave that in the batter's box. Go out and play defense. You know, go out if you're the pitcher, go out and pitch and
those mistakes stay right where you left them.
Mm-hmm. We just got a bad base on balls for Drew Carlson, leadoff hitter for Twin Cedars, the bottom of the fourth inning.
They're holding the guy at third.
Holding Drew Carlson at third. Eric Clark just hit a shot right down the first base line, rolled all the way out into
the... Painted the chalk all the way down.
Right field all the way to the fence.
So.
Not
many knows well. Call him still.
Well, I know we're looking forward to Jim's game, him and Boyd, with Eddyville, and I think the whole area, I think we're going to see a humongous crowd, as they say, Saturday night, Randy.
Yeah, and then, you know, here the other night when we were up there doing the game with Prairie City Monroe, and it was 1-1, and we looked out there, and we could hear the Prairie City Monroe crowd up in the booth. We heard nothing. So, you know, but the fans from Albia are listening to the broadcast right now. You know, a little bit of Let's Go Blue wouldn't hurt. Wouldn't hurt a bit.
And I know a lot of folks listen to the radio, so bring your radio to the game. There's a fly ball. That's going to end this game if they don't hurry. That ball's by the right fielder, Probasco. That's going to score two, and this game is going to be over. It's 12-0, Twin Cedars on a ringing double. It's going to go down as a triple for Collins. You know, it drives in two, and it's 12-0. And I thought we'd go 12 after three here. No? Oh, that's right. 15. Randy, I did too many softball this year. Well, I'm still going to probably be right the way things are going here. Boy, I tell you what.
No matter how you roll the dice, it's coming up Sabres tonight.
12-0. Here's the pitch now to Levi Jones, and there's still nobody out. I had to take a look behind the corner. I'm in the corner. I never wanted to go to the corner when I was in school as a student, but I just realized I'm stuck in the corner here.
It didn't mind you going to the corner and boxing, though, did it?
No. There's a little ground ball, a little number, the throw down, nice play.
Holy.
Good play that time. Bye.
Marching.
Getting that little number that time, throwing the fast CD, Levi Jones out, one away. And the runner, I have to look around here.
He's still at third.
Colin Still is still at third, and here's Coy Moore. It is 12-0 TC. Marching is just a warrior out there for them. He came in when they were trailing 4-0, and he's went the distance for Moe Udell as he came in for Fowler. He's throwing well, but Twin Cedars is just hammering the ball, as usual tonight. I said they were the leading team in Class 1A and 2A and 3A and 4A, the whole state, and hitting. Here's the pitch. Here's a strike. 2-1.
Talk to you about what you think of the new rule.
Corey Moore, number three.
Out of
he's the state to an insurmountable lead. Grab a nice play again. Throw to first. Two way. Their shortstop who went in over there, Randy, for marching when he went into pitch, has just done a really good job for them tonight.
Yeah, the shortstop is...
great job. Two down. Here's Otis Roby. He always seems to come up there. Pitched by the right-handed pitcher, marching. Foul this one off, back and out of play. Strike one.
Want to sneak out on there.
Kyle Mayer, yeah.
Yeah,
Nier is just playing out.
He
had a game
short position. I didn't have him down.
I won't tell anybody. There's a shot. I've got to look around the corner, and that is a base hit for Roby.
And that's going to score Collins Still,
13-0. And that brings to the plate. Hunter Embry, who had a big three-run homer in his last plate appearance. Twin Cedars led 3-0 after one, 7-0 after two, 10-0 after three, and now lead 13-0.
Three more
here in the fourth.
And I was wanting to talk to Jim during the half-inning break, but we may not get into that.
It might be post-game. It's low for a ball. Do you like how I look out here and I see half the field and I look over here and go to the corner?
Yeah, that's
called split screen.
At least you're not like Jack Buck with his feet in a tub full of ice.
I told you about that story. Jack Buck, great Cardinal announcer years ago. Everybody thinks they had great conditions, but it was often hot in their booths, and Jack, his pants legs rolled up and his feet in a big tub of ice water. For size, that would feel pretty good. They've got good fans up here tonight, good hospitality by the folks here at Moravia Field. We've got a lot of people up here in the box tonight. Here's the pitch from Marching. Good cut that time, foul back by Embry.
It's nice to have the box big enough to hold all of us, too.
That's right. We've been in some interesting situations over the years. Once even,
the time we did the football broadcast in the car down at Davis County.
Yes.
That has got to rank number one as the poorest condition because it's cool that night. And
we were in the heater.
The windshield kept fogging.
Yeah. And we were in the end zone besides.
And that was back in the days when we taped everything. We weren't on live.
Strike to Embry. That probably was a good idea because we barely lived through that game.
Oh, gosh, we were down there. It was our homecoming.
Yeah.
We went up to the press box, and they just very, very politely and very curtly said, "We don't have room for you."
Yeah, so it was interesting. Two balls, two strikes, two out, 13-0 Sabres. Embry, if you watch his swing, and we have a great view here of home plate. We're really looking right down on home plate. He just has a classic swing, this right-handed catcher for them. His late father was a great athlete at Twin Cedars, particularly a wrestler and, of course, football. Hunter Embry. On deck, Corey Harrell. Big lead by Robey. 30 for 30, Randy. You think he'll go? There's a smash, face hit to left. Robey takes the turn. He'll hold. First and second now, still two out, and here's Corey Harrell.
At 13-0, I don't think you want to put your running shoes on. That is,
and they're going to take Robey out. That's a good move.
And they're putting in an eighth grader, number one, Trace Embry.
That's his younger brother
going in the courtesy run.
They just reload, don't they?
Right. Yes.
Yeah. Well, here's Harrell, who has been hit by a pitch, and he twisted an ankle. He scored a run. He's had a double. He's walked.
Trace is taking a long leadoff over there for an eighth grader with a runner at second. Look out. They're going to go.
Back in head first.
He got in head first just in time.
I can tell you, Randy, what Matt Miller's thinking here, if you're Twin Cedars, he'd love to see the game end here and get a little extra rest with this heat.
Mm-hmm.
Marching steps off. Look how deep the outfield is.
And it doesn't make any difference. If this inning would stop right now, you're looking at 5, 6, 7 coming up, and you think, well, it'll be a little bit easier, but no.
Yeah, because Moulton has the last at bat.
Mm-hmm. No. Moulton does not have the last at bat. But I mean, if Moulton were to stop the bleeding right now at 13-0, they can't rest with 6, 7, 8 coming up.
No. I see what your point is.
And they wouldn't rest with 8-9-1 or 7-8-9. From one to nine, these boys are very, very solid.
Do you see the green ribbon on Corey Harrell's left shoulder? That's for Strickler. They're a teammate who died earlier this year.
Springer, rather.
Yeah. High for a ball.
Derek Springer.
See it?
No, I didn't. I had not seen that until you just now pointed it out.
Some of the kids have the sweatpants to do that, but he has a little ribbon. Green ribbon. Here's the pitch. There's the base hit to right, and that might do it. That's going to score one. It's 14-0, and they're going to hold the runner. Nice play that time by their right fielder, Probasco, to get that back in. As Harrell drove that into right field, and here's Parker. Runners at first and third, 14-0, Twin Cedars. And you listeners who are not acquainted with the Sabres this year, this is not atypical. This is what they can do. That's why they're ranked second in the state. First and third. Okay. Two out. And here's Parker, who's had a great night. He's doubled.
Put yourself in Young Marching's place. You're behind 14-0. The game ender is at third base. You're pitching to the number one team in the state in high batting average. What's going through your mind?
And he just balked, and that's the end of the ball game. Marching did not come to a stop, and that is a balk that lets the runner from third score. and that is it. How can you, would you have expected that? He just didn't come to a stop, and a lot of that's frustration, Jim. I know when you watch Eddie, he's, you know, you, there's just no rest for the wicked, as they say. And he didn't come to a stop there. The runner came in to score from third, and that, of course, was Hunter Embry, and that's the game. 15-0 in four innings, Twin Cedars winning it. And I really want to say this to you at the top here before we go into the post game. Twin Cedars played Moulton earlier in the year, had an easy win, and then they had a 2-1 ball game. This was a game that you heard Matt Miller say before the game really concerned him. They went against the best pitcher Moulton had had early in the year. They didn't play a lot of games, but they were 15-3. And Matt said, we have to be ready to play. We've been making some mistakes lately. We've got to get them corrected and put it all together. Tonight, Randy, they put it all together.
Yep, they did, and look good doing it. This ball club, I know they go by Sabres, but boy, they really ought to be going by Cobras, because they're a coiled snake, and you know they look at the opposition as someone with a broomstick that's going to slap it upside their head, because they you can't put a kid on a walk, you can't put a kid on a hit batsman. You can't put a kid on an air, because they are going to score. Just as simple as that.
They win it 15-0 in four innings. You're going to figure up some totals for the ball game. And we'll be back for a post-game analysis. We're going to talk to Jim Cagle again. And this is kind of, nobody's stunned by the fact TC won. I think we're stunned by the level of how easily they won tonight, which that sends them into the game Saturday night at 7. And that's going to be at Pleasantville. Pleasantville playing tonight. And they're playing, I believe, Southeast Warren. Southeast Warren has a pretty good ball club, but I think everybody anticipated that probably TC will play Pleasantville again at Pleasantville, and that's problematic a little bit, of course, Saturday night. So Sabres fans and all of you, the Sabres will play at Pleasantville Saturday night at 7 against either Pleasantville or Southeast Warren. Now, I will tell you this right here as Randy's figuring totals. We're going to be doing the Albia Eddyville Blakesburg Fremont game Saturday night. We'll be on the air Saturday night at 6:30 with the EBF Albia game, but we will have one of our people in Pleasantville to give us some reports back on that TC ball game. So you'll be able to know exactly what's happening with the Sabres by listening to our Albia broadcast. And as I told Matt Miller and Justin Nolde earlier, we intend to follow Twin Cedars as far as they go, and we hope that for them is the state tournament this year. So they'll be playing, and we'll have reports on that Saturday night as we carry the Albia Eddyville Blakesburg Fremont game. Tomorrow night, I'm going to be in Centerville as the Sharon Chargers, South Central Conference 3A champions, will take on the Keokuk Purple Chiefs. I'll be on the air very early with that at 4:30. We'll talk to Jake Schroeder and have some other features. We'll have that game for you first pitch at about 5 tomorrow night. And the next week, we're getting into all these district finals. And we'll know next week who's going to state from the area and who's not. And, of course, we're covering Sharon. We're covering Eddyville, Blakesburg, Fremont. We're covering the Sabres from Twin Cedars and, of course, the Albia Blue Demons. So it's a heck of a deal. Jim Cagle, you've got something for us.
Get away here. I want to let everybody know. I just got a call. The 10 and under girls won 6-0 over Grandview, so they are the state champions.
The 9 and 10 girls, the 9-year-old and the 10-year-old girls, coached by some great guys in Albia, and Mike Lawrence, I know, is one of them. They win the state tournament in Burlington tonight. Getting the score on that, Jim?
6-0. They were undefeated in that tournament.
How about that? And that means, Randy, they're going to get a fire truck ride into Albia at some point tonight. And I know I interviewed Mike a day or two ago when the Albia game was being played, and I said, well, we hope you get a fire truck ride. They're going to get one, aren't they?
Yes, they are. One question before we close. There is one question I'd like to ask Jim.
Yeah, here.
Jim, there's been a new rule passed down by the Iowa High School Athletic Association for boys baseball this year, and it was implemented at the start of this season. It used to be varsity doubleheads were 6 innings per game. Now the powers that be in Boone have said that all varsity games have to be 7 innings. We've played 7-inning ball games, seven-inning doubleheaders, excuse me, at Albia, with Sheraton, Davis County,
people, you know, teams like that, that these games are not getting over with until 10:30. And these people still have to drive back home, and some of them go to work 6 in the morning, 7 in the morning. Do you think that that particular rule is here to stay?
Yes, I would guess that it probably is. The reasoning behind that rule is because all the classes now do seedings for the district tournaments and the state tournament, and the reasoning is that everybody has to play the same amount of innings. You're not comparing a win with somebody that played 6 innings against a win with somebody that played 7 innings or vice versa.
But like this particular game tonight, if this was regular season, this 15-0 at the end of 4, how would they rule Moravia and Moravia and Seymour were playing tonight also, and they went 7?
Yeah, well, it's the run rule doesn't have any effect on the 7-inning games. It's just considered the same. If you win by the 10-run or the 15-run rule, it's considered the same as if you played 7 innings. But what the reasoning was like in the South Central Conference, we play all doubleheaders.
Mm-hmm.
So our pitchers were only going 6 innings versus another conference that plays JV varsities. Those guys were 7 innings. So
it was a fairness issue.
Yes, in their thinking, it gives your pitcher an advantage, you know, on the amount of rest he gets if he only has to throw 6 innings versus 7. And, you know, as far as our program, I haven't saw where it's made much of a difference, but one place that I do think it makes a difference is the smaller, like the 1A schools, where pitching is at a premium, you know, and if you play 5 innings a week, or 5 games a week, and you have to play an extra inning every time, that's another game a week you're playing, basically. And I think it makes a difference on some of those programs. You know, it might kind of weaken the pitching staff down a little.
Have you or Boyd heard any complaints from parents or fans about, especially that game when you guys went over to Keokuk, that doubleheader over there, and got in at 1 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah. No, haven't heard any complaints. You know, it's just that's, and it's just the way it is. It's what they said that we were going to do. So, but so far we haven't had any complaints from parents or fans or anything.
Okay, I was wondering about that. I was talking to Kevin Kroll up in the booth the other night when we played Prairie City Monroe, and was asking about that. He said that at the end of the year, the High School Athletic Association will send out papers wanting to know your feelings on this and that, and he said that he assumed that this would be one of them because it was a new rule this year, that they would want feedback on what people thought about it.
And I assume they probably will do that, but I'm guessing with the seating and stuff that they do now that it's probably something that's here to stay.
Now, for us at Albia, you know, Davis County, Sheraton, Centerville, Leadville, Blakesburg, that's not bad. You know, for 2 7-inning ball games.
Yeah.
To go to Clark would be your farthest away, so you're looking at maybe 11:30 to get home and try to get to bed. But you know, games like Keokuk, Mount Pleasant, Washington. Not that we played Mount Pleasant or Washington this year, but it could happen in the past in the future. Do you think an athletic director who makes schedules are going to start shying away from the immediate area because of this 7-inning rule?
I think, you know, and that there's a little bit of a push toward that because of the 7-inning rule, also because of, you know, transportation costs, fuel traveling that far and stuff. So, and that's one thing that we've looked at, you know, is like we've scheduled Oskaloosa. We haven't played them varsity for years. We've scheduled them now. And
Knoxville will come in 2015.
Knoxville will be coming into the conference, so there'll be some more close games there. And you know, maybe, and we do, well, actually, Mount Pleasant came to Albia this year.
Mm-hmm.
We can go there next year. And, you know, like you say, the Keokuk games.
So we could essentially, if, like Keokuk, Mount Pleasant, we could schedule JV varsities on those particular nights?
Well, yeah, we do JV varsity with Mount Pleasant. now. And usually the JV game is a five inning or
an hour 45, yeah. something like
yeah.
that. And then you
mm-hmm.
then you went into the seventh inning, which is
right.
which is understandable, and I don't think there'd be any complaints about that. But I was looking at it from a fan's point of view. Back when I was working, you know, before I retired, when my sons were playing, if I'd have had to go to Keokuk for 2 7 inning varsities and
yeah.
get back at 1 o'clock in the morning and then leave at 5 in the morning to go to work,
yeah.
that
and not that I'm complaining or anything, but you know, I drive the bus to all the away games,
mm-hmm.
and by the time you get home and get the kids off, take the bus back to the bus garage, you know, and then some of those morning games where we have a 10 o'clock start, you're back out there at 8 o'clock in the field ready, and it makes for some short nights.
You'd,
but
just well sleep on the bus. And
yeah,
then
yeah.
You take the
you
bus
know, maybe,
back after practice in the morning.
Take a blanket to the dugout and just stop there. Don't go home. But I think all in all, I think that's probably the rule that we're going to keep.
Okay. Total for tonight's game, Twin Cedars had 15 runs on 12 hits. Three errors and four left on base. Now, here's something interesting for Moulton Udell. They had no runs. They had only two left on base, and Coy Moore,
one hitter,
threw a one-hit shutout
for four innings.
David Sheets in the second inning got a single, and that was it.
Big win for TC tonight. Good interview with Jim there, Randy. We wanted to do that kind of space through the game. We didn't think this game was going to end so quickly. 15-0 tonight, Twin Cedars. Again, always good to work with you. You got to go home early tonight, you and I.
Yes.
But Twin Cedars wins, and again, Twin Cedars fans, we will be reporting on your game Saturday that will be in Pleasantville. We'll have a special reporter there making comments and updates throughout the game. I will be in Albia on Saturday night with Albia, Eddyville, Blakesburg, Fremont, Jim Cagle, Boyd Britton, the Albia Blue Demons against Rod Ashman and Eddyville. They've split on the year 2-2. And we'll have that game for the district title from Albia, and that will be on there at 6:30. Tomorrow night, 4:30, I'll be in Centerville, Sharon Chargers against Keokuk Purple Chiefs. And as I said, next week, golly, who knows where we'll be, Randy, because crunch time next week. You win the district, and we're going to know who the district winners are in 1A and 2A Saturday night. Then you're one game from state. Of course, in 3A, they won't finish up till later in the week, but we're going to be following Sharon, Twin Cedars, Eddyville, Blakesburg, Fremont, and Albia.
Yeah, 3A plays one game less than 2A because 3A, there's not as many 3A schools in the state as there are 2As.
But we'll have all those games for you, so we'll look forward to that. Final score tonight, Twin Cedars in four innings, proving why they're ranked second in the state of Iowa as they win over Moulton Udell by a score of 15-0 in four innings. The winning pitcher, of course, in the game, Coy Moore, who now moves to 10-1 on the year. The losing pitcher was Quentin Fowler. I do want to mention one quick thing before we go. I want to mention the big Weller picnic and reunion at 11 a.m., and that is Saturday. And they've got pork loins, brat lunch, Irish music, and raffles. And, of course, they have a lot of fun out there, too. Don't forget the Babe Ruth 14 tournament. Gets underway at the Albia Sports Complex tomorrow. You go out there, there'll be baseball. Golly, you're going to have baseball out there about all weekend long. And congratulations again, 9- and 10-year-old girls, coaches, staff, and all the players, the girls, who will be returning even as we speak from Burlington, and they'll get their fire truck ride. They are the state 9- and 10 softball champions for Monroe County. So that's going to do it for you and I, Randy, tonight. Appreciate Jim Cagle being with us. And we're from Fenton Field in Moravia. Final score tonight, number 2-ranked Twin Cedars, Sabres 15, Moulton Udell Eagles nothing. See you tomorrow night. I'm Rich Grimes, and for Randy Stafford and Jim Cagle, thanks for listening.